All right, if you will tonight, take your Bible. And we're going into the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Ephesians, chapter number 1. And I want to bring a message tonight on the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. And this will be study number 13. I don't know how many of these we continue on. We could just keep going with it for a while, but we will come out of it soon. But as long as we can get the things and put them together, this is tremendous to me. I've been studying it. I've had a lot of people to, I know, hit it, make it on the internet listening to it. And it seemed to help some, and it's blessed me by studying it. Now, we know, and before we read anything tonight, there's three entities that God has dealt with down through the years in the Bible. And if you don't get these straight, you're going to be messed up with all of it. That is just what I said, the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. And those are the three entities. Outside that, I don't know where else you can get anything to go with it. Everything fits with these three. And if you don't get that, you will not get an overall view. You've got to get it fixed. You see, we're living in a time when people don't seem to understand what they need to understand. And if we'll get what we need, the basis of it, we'll be able to learn some things from the Word of God. Now tonight, stand please and read with me in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I'm excited about this one. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach this message tonight out of the New Testament. We'll use some Old Testament scriptures, but basically out of the New Testament. And Lord willing, the next time I preach on this subject, we're going to the Old Testament and preach identical to what I'm preaching tonight out of the Old Testament to show you how good and wonderful the Word of God lays together. I get so amazed how the Bible just lays together. Amen. It's more exciting. It's got to be more exciting than a newspaper. I don't know why so many people want to read a newspaper and not read their Bible. Amen. I don't mind you reading a newspaper, but if you won't read the Bible, I hope that newspaper catches on fire next time you pick it up. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now look at this. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. What's He chosen for? To be holy and without blame in Him. In Him in love, or before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You can be seated. Father, tonight, give us wisdom. Help us to understand these things that we begin to study them. God, may they be open to us, and may we, Lord, tonight, rightly divide the word of truth. May we take the word of tonight, and Lord, help us to apply it to our heart to understand. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't intend to say anything tonight probably that you don't already know. But I do hope tonight that we can lay it out in the Bible the way that it's laid out and get the times and the spaces and pull some of the little things together that we don't know about. Some of the little things that we've got questions about when they're going to happen and what they're going to do. Now Israel, we know in the first part of Ephesians here, she's blind. She's blinded, and because she's rejected Christ, and we've gone over this a few times before, she's blinded because she's turned her back on God. And now she's not forgotten, she's not forsaken. She's put on the sideline. God will deal with her again. So we know that that's where the Israel is. She's set aside. And Israel is not God's witnesses no longer tonight. At one time, Israel was the witnesses of God. And she ruled and reigned with that, with them being the witnesses, the way out in the forefront. And God deal with her. Now, she's on the sideline. She's not the witnesses or the main witness for God. Now, some Jews witness for the Lord. Don't take that out of context. Now, the Gentiles, We also know tonight that the Gentiles as a whole are blind. Now when I say Gentiles tonight, I exclude the church. Amen. They're a different entity. Amen. The church is made up of Jews and Gentiles, right? We know that, so it's a different entity. So when I'm talking about Gentiles, I'm preferring, or not preferring, but I'm talking about Gentiles, the world that does not know Christ. They're blind too. Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, "For the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that they cannot see the glorious gospel." They're blind. The world tonight don't understand us. Because, and they're Gentiles, and we may be Gentiles as well, we are, but some of you, I don't reckon we got any Jews in here, but Gentiles, we're not blind. I'm a Gentile, but I'm not a blind Gentile. I'm a saved Gentile. So that took me out of the Gentile world in God's perspective tonight and put me in the church. Amen. I'm a believer in the church. Now you've got to get that straightened out. Now, the Jews and the Gentiles, according to the Old Testament, and we look at this, I want you to know that we are a new entity, the church is. And we all know that God called the church, He calls it today the Church of God. It's also called the church, and sometimes people call it the Assembly of God. In other words, the people that have come together. Now, Jews, we know one thing about them. They've got something ahead of them called tribulation. The Gentiles have got something ahead of them called judgment. And I'll tell you what the church has got ahead of it in just a little bit. But I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23. Notice where God's put the church, and we're going to be dealing tonight primarily with the church. He said in verse 22, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church." Amen. We're talking about the church in Ephesians. Ephesians has much to say about the church. Study it. And we'll be getting some more of it out later as we go, especially this week and next week too, as Lord willing. "Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." What's the church? It's the body. If you study the book of Ephesians, you'll find out that the church is the body. You'll also find out that the church is the bride. You'll find out that the church is the building. Amen. And you'll also find out that the church is the battalion. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, He said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you might stand against the wiles of the devil." So it's a battalion. So you'll find it mentioned in there. And it's also a brotherhood, if you will. And it's taught all that out of the book of Ephesians. And we're not going to get into that now. But I want you to notice something. In Ephesians tonight, in this 22nd and 23rd verse, you'll find He's put us in charge. Brother, today. Now slide over to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4. The Bible said, and I talked about this in last lesson, and I'm not going to talk about it tonight much, "Whereby, when you read, you may understand My knowledge in the mystery of Christ." The church was a mystery to the Old Testament. The church is not a mystery anymore. I believe I cleared that up last week in verse number 10. It said, "To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." God has brought the church into the forefront, and the church is standing today. And it's not the Jews that are the witnesses. It's not the Gentiles that are the witnesses. But the church is the witnesses today. God put the church in charge of winning souls, and that's what it is. And we look at it. Now, here, put this in your notes, and this is the interesting thing. Israel, what are they called in the Bible? Now, just stop to think about it for a minute. They're called the people of God. Israel's called the people of God. They're also called the children of Israel. That's the two phrases you'll find in the Old Testament. Sometimes we look at these things and we see it tonight. And we'll find that they're called the people of God. But what is the church called? It's called the children of God. Now you get your concordance out when you get home tonight. Look it up and look the phrase children of God up. And it'll start in the book of Matthew. That's not a phrase that's used in the Old Testament. It starts in the New. Now that means something. You see, we are children of God. Now Israel was the people of God. We are the children of God. You said, where in the world do you get the children of God? Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I would like just to go ahead and quote this, but I want you to see it. It seems like it'll stay in your mind a little bit better when you see it in black and white. and go to John chapter number 1, the first chapter of the book of John. And we'll see some things. John's given us something here. In John chapter 1, verse 11. In John chapter 1, verse 11, he said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What's that mean? He came to the Jews. The Jews refused it. In verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on his name. Now what's God say? He says, I'll give them the power. Those who will believe me, I'll make them the sons of God. That's what he's made the church. He's made us his family. We've been incorporated in his family. We've got to get this straightened out tonight. And we look at it. You see, the Jews tonight are an earthly people with an earthly promise. All of us are sons of Adam. All of us come from Adam. Jew, Gentile, either one. Tonight, all of us come from Adam. But we remember, we went through the study. You've got to get this figured out. See, everybody says we're all brothers through Adam. We are by that. But listen, we all realize that the Jews did not come until Abraham. In the days of Abraham, the Jews come. We find in the 10th chapter of Genesis how that everybody got associated and put out in the aisles of where they're going to. And that's where your nationalities of people come in the 10th chapter of Genesis. That's where every nationality. Brother, that's where, you know, from the sons of Noah. We've gone through that tonight. And we've done it before. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All the families of the earth have come from them three. Amen. That's still before Abraham. Got me? All right. Now we see what's happened. Here come the Gentiles out from there. Here came the Jews out from there. And God chose the Jew. Put the Jew over here. And this is him. And he's a God to them. And brother, they are his people. And he takes care of them. Now, listen, the Jews. The Jews are akin to the Lord a different way than you and I are akin to him. They're akin to him through a lineage and through heritage. Jesus, a Jew himself, came from the lineage of the Jews. So they're brothers tonight from the loins of the Jews. You understand that? And so they've got it on that sense of looking at it. They're a national people. And they've got a biological union with Christ. They've got a biological union with Christ. They came out of the or Jesus came out of the loins of the Jews. Now the Gentiles tonight who got saved by the grace of God, we've got a unity with Christ. But I'll tell you, it's not through a biological, but through a spiritual union. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Brother, we have been purchased and paid for and bought for. Brother, I'm glad we've become His child tonight and sons of God. By the grace of God, we have a spiritual union. We are family. Amen. Israel's a national people, a national people, and that's how that they looked at. We call God our Father. You don't find the Jews calling Him Father. They call Him Jehovah. Amen. They talk to even the Jews when Jesus came to the earth, they called Him Rabbi. We know you're a teacher come from God. Amen. No man can do these miracles but God. Listen, they don't call Him Father. One day they will. But they don't tonight. Amen. Look with me tonight, please. I want you to look in Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 12. I'll try to slow down so you can stay with me. In Isaiah 43, it's one of the hardest things for me to do is slow down. Amen. I seem to think I can't get as much ground covered. But in Isaiah 43 and verse number 12, Isaiah 43 and verse number 12, here's what God said, I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Look at this phrase, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Amen. You see, they were his witnesses. Notice what he said. He said, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Now what did they witness of? That there was a monotheistic place or being tonight. They're monotheistic. That means that they believe one God. And for years they witnessed, the Jews witnessed that Jesus or God was a one God. Didn't need no others. There's no other gods. They had that. They testified of that. That's what they witnessed to. Now as we go a little bit further in this, we'll find something out. We get to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses in all Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. Amen. That's what he said, wasn't it? Now you're going to be witnesses. Who's witnesses? These are the church, the born-again believers. We'll see that tonight as we go through this study. Now, we find the world is not in the thought of Christ tonight in the church. God did not put the church, and I mentioned this morning in Sunday school or somewhere, God did not put the church in the world to straighten the world out or to establish a kingdom or establish a utopia. Some people believe that's what He's come for or what we have the church for. The church is not here to straighten out things. The church is here tonight for two reasons. To bring glory to God, amen, and be a witness for God and win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. Brother, we got here to demonstrate the grace of God. We're to demonstrate what we are and what we have. And we can prove that. Look at Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. And I want you to look at chapter 1. John sees Jesus in chapter 1 like he's never seen him before. John has already been talking about him in some of the other, in the epistles especially. And he said, that which was from the beginning. Amen. He said, that which we've heard, that which we have seen, our eyes have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. John had already seen this in his epistles. But looking down with me tonight in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, here's what he said. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was on the Isle of Patmos for a testimony and for the Word of God. They got rid of him and they thought, we're going to get rid of that Bible thumper. We're going to get rid of him and put him over there. I'm tired of listening to that rascal. And we're going to get rid of him. We're going to let him go preach himself to death. And maybe he'll die over there and get out of our hide. They put him over there. And what he got there, he got in the Spirit. Amen. And about that time, the Lord began to speak, saying in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega. He said, the first and last. And what thou seest, write in the book. And send it unto seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. All right, when John turned, amen, when somebody's speaking, you can't see them, you'll turn to get the voice. He turned, that's normal. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps of the golden girdle. John had never seen him like this. He had walked with him for 3.5 years on the earth. He saw him crucified. He saw him in a new body raised up out of the grave that could go through the walls. Amen. But he didn't see him in a glorified state. Now he's seen him in a vision and a sight that he's never seen before. Amen. And look where he's at. Where is he? He's in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. A candlestick is a light bearer. It brings forth light. He's in the middle of it. Reckon why it brings forth light. Brother, because there's somebody on the inside that's in the light. He is the light of the world, and he's standing in the midst of it. And what is he doing? He's lifting up and lighting up the church and helping the church. And those seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. And golden means that they are valuable. Amen. Anything you ladies got's gold tonight, you like it, don't you? Amen. It's valuable. Yes, sir. That gold still has a high standard. And so we look at it, and we see this tonight, that John is seeing Christ in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Here he is. Now what's he doing? Turn to chapter 2, verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. No wonder the churches are shining. Brother, that's where God wants to be tonight, in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Now, if you'll look at chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, it'll tell you about seven churches that were in Asia Minor. Amen. And this is actually the churches there, and each one of these represent a period of time during the day of grace. And brother, we are to shine forth the glory of God. I said a while ago, we are to bring glory and honor to Him, shine forth for Him, and be a witness. Now, we can get that fixed in our mind. We can see that. Now, God said He had, or John said He had stars in His right hand. And these are the angels of seven churches. Brother, they're light bearers too. And God's wanting light to bear. Now guess what? God has put the church on the earth to be a light bearer. Brother, we're in a dark society. If you look up in a dark sky tonight, if it's clear and there's no clouds and you look up in the sky, brother, if the darker it is, the prettier it gets with the stars. Amen. Nothing like sitting out in the open somewhere and looking up. I don't like to sleep in the open, but I don't mind going out and looking at it every once in a while. Some of you like to sleep under the stars. Help yourself. Amen. I had enough of that when I was a boy. I could see the stars out of the cracks in the house nearly. I had enough of that. Amen. We poke things in the window because the panes has broke out. We'd have to put cardboard and poke sheets or what we could find in them windows. Amen. To keep the rain from coming in at night. Amen. Covered up so deep in quilts that you couldn't move around. Amen. About the time you got it good warm, Daddy's hollering at the door, "Boys, get up! It's time to go." They all been there, ain't you? Well, I've seen enough stars like that. But I tell you, look up and see the stars. There's the stars. They're so beautiful. Amen. Now, what God wants to do tonight is He looks down on the earth. Amen. The earth is God's footstool. The clouds, amen, are the dust of His feet. He looks down as He looks at the earth. Brother, He sees how dark in sin that this whole earth is. Brother, God's got a church here. God's got a church there. God's got a church over there. Amen. He's looking down. Brother, the only light He can see on the earth is those churches with the light that's shining forth through the Holy Spirit of God. And God wants us to be bright. Amen. And I believe our light has grown dim. And brother, there's a time tonight that we need to be bright, more bright than we've ever been. Amen. Brother, the darker it is, the more brighter we ought to be. Of course, it'll appear that way. So you find the church age in chapters 2 and 3. And then you'll find in chapter 2 and verse 1 that I read to you. Notice He's not only standing. Look at chapter 1. He's talking about He's standing amidst. But look in chapter 2 and verse 1. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand." What's that next word? Walketh. Amen. He's not only standing now, He's walking in the midst of the churches. Brother, when God's doing the walking in the church, He's doing some action. Now, all these seven churches, you can look them up in the last verse of all these churches. We'll say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." God didn't say, "Take your eyes and look." Amen. Brother, see if you can find a better way. He didn't say, "Take your heart and try to let your heart be your guide." He said, "Take an ear and listen to what the Spirit said." God wants us to hear, not try to figure it out ourselves. Now go on. I believe tonight we need to look at some things. And chapter number 2, verse number 7 said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Notice what it said in verse 7. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the..." What's that word? Spirit. Amen. The Spirit is the oil. Those lamps cannot burn without oil. And the Spirit of God is the oil. Now next week we're going to talk about the Spirit a little bit more. Brother, we got this crowd running up and down the country and they're trying to major on the Spirit. But the Spirit wants us to major on Christ. And we're going to talk about that. You find this crowd tonight that's majoring on the Spirit of God, mark them off. They're not New Testament. They may be in a New Testament church, so called. This crowd running around trying to find the gifts of the Spirit and majoring on the Spirit. You got the Spirit, you got Him. Hey, mark them off. That's not what God said. And I'll prove it to you out of the Old Testament next week. Amen. I don't have to have the New Testament prove it. I can. Amen. Just take the New Testament face value. But I'll prove it to you out of the Old Testament. God says that we are not to major on... This. See, the Spirit don't major on Himself. Can I go ahead and give you this? God is called Jehovah. He has got a name. In the New Testament church, we call Him God the Father. Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, has a name. Amen. I just took them to you. Christ and Jesus and Lord. But would somebody stand up right quick and tell me what the name of the Spirit is? Amen. Well, that's a characteristic. His name is not holy. Amen. The Spirit of God is holy. That's an attribute. What's His name? He don't have one. Because when He speaks of Jesus. Amen. Now you better put that, and I'll prove that to you next week, Lord willing. Amen. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we're going to look at some things here that I believe is will help you a little bit. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And as we look at chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and I want you to go to verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now what's God saying? He's saying to us tonight that you cannot discern or know the things of God unless the Spirit of God shows you and tells you what they are. Right? That's what He's saying. I don't have no problem with that. Now look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God reveals to us the things of God. What I know about God, the Spirit of God has taught me. And what I know about heaven, the Spirit of God has told me. What I know about hell, the Spirit of God has told me. Holy men of old spake and moved as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They pinned down what God said. And so I'm moved and see that tonight. It's the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, we'll look at these things. The Bible said in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now he's saying to us tonight, the lost man cannot figure it out. He may be a doctor. He may be a lawyer. He may be a philosopher. He may be a professor. He may have all kinds of degrees, but the natural man cannot comprehend. He cannot figure out who God is and what God says. That's why they changed their Bibles. That's why they got to get it in man's own interpretation of it. That's why they got to get them one that they don't understand. They cannot understand one tonight that is written by the Spirit of God because they know not the Spirit of God. I wouldn't want anything else. I understand this one pretty good. Amen. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but I sure couldn't understand theirs. Yeah, I've been in this long enough to know when they're reading out of something different. Some people listen and say, "Whoa!" My wife sometimes, she said, "Is that right?" And I said, "No," or say, "Yeah." Amen. And sometimes they'll read it to you, and if you hadn't been versed in the Scriptures, you won't catch it. Amen. So you have to pay attention. Now, we'll find what God has done. But I want you to go down to verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 2. It said, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank God tonight. I'm not out of my mind. I want God's mind. Amen. And the Bible teaches us we ought to have the mind of Christ, and we do have it if we've been saved. Now, I want to give you this. The Jew, I told you a while ago, is headed for what? Tribulation. The Gentile, he's headed to what? Judgment. What's the church headed for? Glory. The rapture. Amen. Now, if you get this fixed in your mind, you'll quit worrying about a lot of things. People are all upset tonight. Israel's in a turmoil. The world's in unrest. We've got Russia sticking its ugly head up. We got problems in America, one nation after another nation. And then there's problems in the nations. And God said that's just a forerunner of the coming of the Lord. And things are getting excited for me. But now, you get this fixed in your mind. The Jew is headed for tribulation. We know that. The Gentile is headed for tribulation. The day of the Gentile is still here. He's trodden down. Brother, what he's doing, he's taking control and doing what he can. But the Gentiles are going to go through the tribulation too. And so they're going through judgment. But the church, she's going to get raptured. That's the next thing. The church nowhere in the Bible is told it's going to go through judgment. Amen. Somebody is saying, well, is the church going through tribulation? Well, one preacher said, yeah, they're going through half of it. Another said they're going through most of it. And another come along and said they ain't going through it. And amen. And they talk about the post-millennialist, the all-millennialist, and those today. And then the one preacher, I heard him say the other day, he was so free that he wouldn't even eat post-toasties. and said he even had a problem going to the post office. Well, you can say what you want to, but I'm not going to fight you tonight on what you believe on those things, but I will tell you what God says. Amen. And I want to give you some scriptures, and you need to write this in your Bible. You need to know these things so you can tell. Don't go tell them somebody's... let me just give you this. We had the Mormons coming through one time. Jehovah's Witnesses come through in a church I was pastoring, and I got up and said, the Jehovah's Witnesses are coming through. They're probably going to get your place. And just shut the door on them. Don't talk to them. Well, here they did it. And here come the Mormons. And I got up in the pulpit and I said, now listen, the Mormons are coming through. Don't take no time with them. And so anyhow, most of them listened to me and they didn't. So one fella, when they came to the door, he looked at them. He said, my preacher said not to talk to you. And he said, shut the door. And he just shut the door on him. Amen. Well, I didn't tell him that they had to, you know, he could have been a bit more kind, I guess. But anyhow, I'm glad he shut the door on them. But I'm telling you tonight, they'll come to you and they'll tell you. Don't look them in the eye and say, my preacher said. I don't want you doing that. I want you to take your Bible and say, here's what God said. I believe we need some people in America tonight that can take their Bible and show people what's going on. So that's why I'm going to deal with this subject tonight. We'll find in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I want you to read with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. You need these scriptures. Sometimes they're unhandy to get. And sometimes it's hard to remember them. So I want you to do them in the circle that I talk about sometimes. We'll put them in our circle. So first off, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to go down to the last verse of that chapter, verse number 10. Here's what he's talking to, and he's talking to the church. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Do you see that last phrase, the wrath to come? The Lord has delivered the church from the wrath to come. What's he talking about? He's talking about the tribulation hour. So right there at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10, I want you to put this of Scripture. Put chapter somewhere in a little blank space there, close as you can get to that verse. You put chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Chapter 4, 13 through 18. And then when you get that wrote down, slide over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and go to verse 13. The Bible said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those in the graveyard, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. When He comes, He's going to bring with Him. You get that? Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Those we've already planted in the cemetery, He said, one of these days I'm going to bring them back with Me. And he said in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now what is he saying? He said, those that are alive and remain, after I bring them with me, we're going to get up together. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he says this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Preacher, that don't say anything in the world about the rapture. It just said he's coming to get them, bringing them back. Well, let's go on down and see. Sometimes we stop short. Look at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Your for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What's the day of the Lord? When the Lord comes back? Amen. Now look, he said, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, I like this, but ye, when God puts in a but, brother, you better look at it. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Hey, those that's going to be in the tribulation hour, they're going to get overtaken as a thief in the night. But brother, not you. You're in the light. You know He's coming. You don't know when He's coming, but you know He's coming. You got that? He said, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us what? Watch and be sober. We're waiting for His coming. You got that? We're waiting for His coming. Now, go a little bit further with me tonight. Somewhere along the line, they're gonna be a time when they're gonna come. Amen. And let us see some things. The Lord's gonna come after 7 years. The rapture's gonna take place. Something else is gonna take place. But slide over to Revelation. Revelation chapter number 3. And by the way, in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, put Revelation 3. Put Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10. Amen. If you done turn, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And somewhere in that scripture, put Revelation 3:10. Get over here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10. Know this. This is to the one of the messages to the church. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Amen. And now you don't know what that is. Preacher, I don't know what that is. Well, read on. You quit reading. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What's coming? Tribulation. The Lord's telling us, hey, I'm going to keep you out of the hour of temptation. That's where the saints of God, we're going to get out of that. We're going to feel our course. Brother, when the last soul gets saved in the day of grace, the church is going to be caught out of here. Amen. Then tribulation sets in. Guess what's going to happen? Amen. Brother, some things are going to take place. There's three things going to take place. Amen. After the rapture of the church, well, I'll give you some things a little bit later when it comes after the end of the tribulation hour. The Lord's coming. The first time of the first advent of the coming of the Lord is the rapture. The actual second coming of the Lord is going to be when He puts His feet on the Mount of Olives and establishes His kingdom. A lot of people don't understand about the kingdom. The little preacher was preaching in one of the churches I was sitting in before I ever started preaching. And we had a fellow, and he didn't know too much about the coming of the Lord, and he got upset about the preacher preaching. And the preacher got up that night on a Sunday night, and he was talking about them little Jews going to get over and plant, and they're going to water, and they're going to have all kinds of crops coming in. Brother, they're going to build and plant, and they're going to be able to lead a bear. Kids are going to be able to be around the enemy animals, and said they'll lead them around. And he was shouting it out, and I was shouting it out, and a half a dozen more shouting it out. And I saw that little preacher the next day at the grocery store, and he said, what do you think about what that preacher preached? I said, I ain't got over it yet. It's been good, wasn't it? Boy, he got mad. He said, no, he don't even know what he's preaching about. He's preaching error. We ought to get rid of him. And I said, well, help yourself, but I'm going to stay with him. Amen. He's right. And stay with him. But there's a lot of people don't like what I'm even preaching tonight. But, hey, it's them losing the blessing. Amen. Ain't you glad tonight that you don't have to go through the tribulation? Yeah. Amen. I'm not promising you that. The Word of God promised you that. Right. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad God gives me the clearance of it. Now, what's going to happen? I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. Turn to Revelation chapter number 5. I want to show you what's going to take place. And while you're holding that, I will give you this. There's going to be a millennium when the Lord comes and He's going to set His rule upon the earth. And He's going to usher it in with some things, and I'll talk about it tonight. Somebody said, who's going to be in the millennium? I've always preached this, or not always, but when I learned, when I didn't preach it when I was in the cradle. And I didn't preach it as a little boy in the grammar school, because I didn't know nothing about it. So I can't say I always preached it. But for many, many years now, I've preached that the Lord's going to set up His kingdom on the earth. Once I found it out in the Bible, I hadn't backed off of it. I hadn't been wishy-washy. One preacher, I followed a pastor one time, went to his church, and they took me on as a pastor. He had left. And he did not believe in the thousand-year reign. And he had taught them that or been preaching. As a matter of fact, most of those preachers won't preach too much on that in period. They just don't say too much about it. They're not sure of it. The only thing they'll do is that I don't believe in that thousand-year reign. Don't believe in that thousand-year reign. But they don't give you too much to back it up. Amen. The ones that I've been around hasn't no how. They may pull out a few little things here and there. You can take the Bible and prove anything you want to if you don't want to rightly divide the Word of truth. But if you rightly divide it, you can't prove what it says. Now listen. And I went to that church, took it over, started preaching. I didn't get into those doctrines too much because when the early days of my preaching, I wasn't too all concerned about the second coming of the Lord. We was just trying to do what the Lord was trying to get. And I just preached like young preachers preach. And I learned a little bit more and started preaching here and there. But we had a revival meeting. And the former pastor came back and I asked him to come up and lead a song. And he did. He came up and led a song. He had the piano stuck across the back, a little short choir. And you get up there behind the piano and you just lead a song. And he got up to lead his song. And before he started, he said, "Hey, when I was pastor here, folks, I want to tell you, when I was pastor here, I didn't believe in that 10,000-year reign. But said, now I believe in that 10,000-year reign tonight." And he led his song. And he sat down. I didn't say a word. He didn't even have it right then. It's not 10,000. It's just 1,000. So lots of time we get things crossed up and look at it. But when you know it's in the Bible, you just go on with it. Now what's going to happen? I've always preached that the saints of God, the church, what's its play? What is the play of the church in the millennium? What's the play of the church? What's the play of Christ? I mean, what's the position Christ will have? What's the position that the church will have? What's the position that the Jews will have? Now let me just look at this and explain it to you like this. Today in our society, and this happens just about anywhere you are, whether it be a dictatorship or where it be like we have in America, a president. Well, we know that we have the president in our country. And then we know that we have his cabinet, which we call them the administrative rulers or the administrative people. They're the people who work for him. And then you have the citizens. In anything you're going to have, you're going to have the ruler, you're going to have the administrative people, and then you're going to have the people. It's that way everywhere. You can't get around that in any kind. In a dictatorship, you've got to have a leader. But that leader has got some people that works under him. They may be just as crooked and bad as he is, but the people, they have to go under the rule of the administrative and the one that's in charge. Am I right? Now that's what's going to happen in the millennium. You're going to have a ruler. You're going to have administrative people, and then you're going to have the people. So what's going to happen? He's here. And I'm going to give you some scriptures on this to back it up. Look with me, please, in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 10. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 10, the church is in heaven. You got me? The church is in heaven. I'm going to finish this. Amen. I'm going to have to. Or we're going to be in a mess in the next lesson. Chapter 5 and verse 10 gives us what's happening with the saints of God. The church is in heaven. He's talking to the church. And he said, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests." That's what God says we are. We're kings and priests. "And we shall" what? What is that next word? "Reign on the earth." Now that just means that we're going to reign with the Lord. That's all it means. Now, we'll go a little bit further. Go to chapter number 20 of the book of Revelation. Now there's more that it means, but that's what it's saying there. Look with me in Revelation chapter number 20. And I want you to go to verse number 4. The Bible said, "And I saw thrones." How many thrones you need? Amen. One, Christ sits on a throne. But he said, "And I saw thrones." It's got an S on it. That's going to mean there's more than one throne. Now, don't get me wrong. Christ is going to be the ruler. He's going to be the head one. Amen. But the thrones. "And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. When you're reigning, what does that mean? You're in charge of something. Amen. Revelation 5:10. Now this is going to be, the church will be the administrative rulers in the millennium. They'll be the, it got quiet then. I see you trying to mull that over and figure it out. Hey, somebody said, what's going to happen? Those Jews are going to have children. Those Gentiles are going to have children, but not the church. Hey, where's the church going to be? She's going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what your thrones are talking about. Now, this is going to be a worldwide thing. God will put them where He wants to put them, and I can give you scriptures for that. Amen. What's it going to take place? In Matthew chapter 25, jot these down. I don't have time to get into these verses. I'd love to. You just got me all stirred up now, and I'd like to preach for a while. But in Matthew chapter number 25, you'll find in verse number 31, write these down, verse 31 through 46, read these when you get home. He's going to talk about the judgment of the nations. Brother, when the millennium is set up, Brother, God's going to initialize this thing by judging the nations. He's going to take the sheep and the goats, and He's going to put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. And the Bible said they'd go to everlasting darkness. That's what God's going to do with those bad nations. And He's going to take the good nations, and those good nations are going to be ushered in. And brother, that's the ones that we're going to rule over. And that'll be around the world. There'll be people around the world. Amen. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to be in an administrative position. That's where the church is going to be. Amen. Now you said, preacher, I don't believe all that. Well, you come back and preach yours. Amen. I'm interested. I'm all up to it tonight to see what you got to say about it. But now, why is it going to be that way? Look at 1 Corinthians. I'm going to give you two or three more things. I'm quitting. I'm almost done. You said, thank God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Notice in verse number 2, do you not know that the saints shall what? What did he say? Judge the world. When's that going to happen? Amen. Are the saints judging the world tonight? No, sir. Amen. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest man? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain unto this life? This is future. What God say? God's going to put us in that position. That's why there's more than one throne. Brother, God's going to put us in an administrative position, if you will. Now, why do we have the millennium? Because for the first time from Genesis to Revelation now to end, brother, during the millennium, you've got Jew, you've got Gentile who's been saved now, and you've got the church all together for the first time from Genesis to Revelation. You've got the Jew, the Gentile, and the church all together. Magnifying Christ. And that's where God wants us. All in one mind, one accord, and Him in the midst of all of it. Now those children will be born during that millennium. When Satan's released, he'll go out and try to deceive those, and those are going to rise up against God, and there'll be another battle take place. When that battle takes place, then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. And brother, we will not have a repeat of what we've had before. It'll be over. Amen. I know a lot of things running through your mind. The devil likes to do that for you. But amen, you need to get settled on what you do know. And those are the things we know tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Amen. Just so much in here. Amen. Amen. We're trying to cram too much at one time, I'm sure. But go think on these things. May they be a help to you and a strength to you. An encouragement to you. But I'm glad we're not going through no tribulation. I'm glad we're not going through the wrath of God. You said, how come we're not? Because our judgment has already taken place on the cross. He purchased our salvation and forgave us of our sins. They're already forgiven in Christ. We're in Christ tonight. Our sins are forgiven. Hear me. You said, do we sin? Yes, we do. He'll take care of that at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. Amen. Amen. Judgment of our sins already been done on the cross. Stand, please.